What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
I have a hard time envisioning them ever pitching in Major League Baseball again, honestly. Look, I don't want to speculate on like what the investigation might end up proving or disproving, but there was a player banned from baseball a year ago, and it was much, much less than this. It was a guy who was injured, sitting on the couch. He bet on his team. He had no influence on that. You know, this is different. This is two pitchers who had the ball in their hand, and if you can't trust that, there's not a spot for you. I don't know what'll happen. I don't know exactly what they've found or what they think they will find. And I don't know like what happens if there are, you know, some bad characters in their lives who are maybe forcing this upon them. But I have a really hard time picturing any scenario where they're back pitching.
Zach Meisel on with Baskin and Phelps today. Talking about Luis Ortiz and Emmanuel Clase. They remain suspended with pay through the end of this month. But so that was already disheartening enough to hear, JP. And then yeah. Zach Meisel actually just tweeted out about 5 minutes ago that the lockers for Emmanuel Clase and Luis Ortiz have been cleared out in the Guardians clubhouse.
Not a great sign, all things considered. I mean, I've been pretty steadfast the entire time. And I mean, it just, we'll find out with their investigation. I have a hard time thinking they'll ever pitch again, nonetheless, at any point this season.
Yeah, I don't know how I'm framing this, but I just have to say, like, if it's the worst news, which is they're done for the rest of this year or longer, I'd rather not hear it till August 31st.
You want them delayed?
Yeah, the blow by blow right now is killing me. Like,
we've had one too many things happen.
Okay, listen, I know we all feel incredibly disappointed in Emmanuel Clase and Luis Ortiz, and certainly the Ortiz thing, he was going to be a huge part of your rotation for the next 4 years.
And he legitimately had been your best pitcher since May 1st on. The last seven starts that he was on the field, it was a sub 2.5 ERA.
So, with that being said, putting the this to me is so much more impactful in my enjoyment of the season than just wins and losses. Because with wins and losses, I'm seeing a team battle. I'm seeing a team really try to figure it out. And these guys have not given up. And I'm about that. I can root for you even if you're a 500 team, if you're a 500 team of good dudes. And then you go to the other part of this and you're like, oh my God, a guy that was, you know, the best closer in baseball, who knows if he'll pitch again? Same thing with Luis Ortiz, who looked like a young Luis Castillo, down to the hair and everything. It is so disheartening to think about. And you're going to be questioning this kind of stuff from pitchers for the next year and a half. This stink is going to be so hard to erase. And then when you hear something as final as, and I know they can put the stuff back in the lockers, but I mean, what? If they were going to be back in 30 days,
they wouldn't have cleaned out the lockers.
Which just really just ramps up not just the disappointment, but just like I'm disappointed in them personally. I'm disappointed for them. Like, how could this happen? You have everything. Like, people are complaining about, oh, well, maybe if the Dolans paid them more money. It's like, that's dumb. They make good money in baseball, even if you just make the veteran minimum.
It is, no, it's the idea, though, and I don't want to just completely disregard the idea that if they had been paid more, if Class A had been paid more, maybe they don't go down this road. Because I just know from my life experiences, like people do. They when people steal, why do they steal? They steal because they don't feel like they're being paid enough. But the whole thing is stupid. Like you said, whether or not they're good people or not, I don't go there with this at all. You can be a good person and just be an idiot. I think they're just idiots. I don't think they're bad people because they were gambling and trying to make a couple extra bucks. That's not what I think. I just think they were really, really dumb, and they didn't understand the market attached to it all, if that's even how this ends up going down.
I mean, I think now, and maybe it's because we played the Zach thing going into this. Like, do we have to even reset our expectation on what the worst means?
Well, so it's interesting that you're taking that approach with it, because I told you for a couple days now, I've had a theory as to why this hasn't completely taken off on a national stage day in, day out. And the only thing I was thinking of, and again, I if they're clearing out their lockers, then this probably disproves this theory. Mm-hmm. And it isn't ironclad, but like Joe Sheehan, for instance, you know I like Joe Sheehan. He's got a newsletter. He's been on the station a few times. He had a scenario. And he said the scenario is far more worrisome. Our pitcher gets texted a grainy picture of his cousin or aunt tied to a chair with a knife to her throat with instructions to make sure their first pitch is a ball or your relative dies. If you're the player, do you risk going to the team in the league or do you just bounce a slider? If you're an MLB player, how confident are you that the league has your back in this instance? And it's like, we took a call on Tuesday in the 6 o'clock hour, and the person had made some suggestion to that, like that idea of, what if this was something more nefarious at play and they were almost forced into the action of doing this? But the idea that the Guardians are clearing out the lockers, I think, would take this scenario out of play. But I do think that's what people were worried about and why everyone didn't immediately jump to have big, long-standing conversations around this.
So I think while we're having this part of the conversation, we probably should also then go into what is maybe going on politically here. But 216-474-0092. So Class A and Ortiz's lockers have been cleared out at the ballpark there. Are you just expecting the worst for Class A and Ortiz? And guys, I honestly think the worst is not them missing the rest of this year. The worst is an indefinite suspension. And I think,
lifetime ban is definitely on the table here.
Yeah, and I think, like, that's...
You get nothing for Class A because you can't trade him, obviously. Yep. And then Ortiz, who's one of the best pitchers in your rotation at this point, is just gone.
And
that's a devastating blow to a team.
And that was a huge asset that you had, even if you weren't going to keep him for the next 4 years, to try and turn around and rebuild your roster or retool your roster. Well, that is one less option you have there. But on the other side of this, Governor Mike DeWine, just late yesterday, as a matter of fact, I think right about the time we're going off air, is called for the Ohio Casino Control Commission, the OCCC, as some are calling it, to ban prop bets in the wake of Guardians gambling investigation.
Yeah, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Now, they already took it away for the colleges, right? When you watch Ohio State, you can't bet on prop bets. You can't bet on a Jeremiah Smith touchdown, for instance. So, like, this is just the extension of that. But you're blaming and you're putting this on the wrong people if this is the case. Now, I could see a spot, Nick, where baseball legitimately says, we had two people that ended up being guilty of this. We don't want it's the risk isn't worth the reward, because you're not making thousands, millions of dollars based on these little micro bets and the little prop bets. I can see baseball. I can see the casinos, all them getting together and being like, it's not worth it to us. But DeWine leading the charge here just feels like you're just out here being a showman.
Yeah, it also felt like maybe a little bit of Guardians fandom here, or like some, well, we can't have this going on. It's like, there is a part of me where it's like, well, we all knew this was going to happen. You just hoped it never happened to your team. And I think, like,
I really didn't know it was going to happen. I didn't think I thought it was too obvious. And maybe that's my fault in giving people enough intelligence, credit for their intelligence. I just thought there's no way to make enough money to be able to have it not flagged. And you'd have to be an idiot not to see that. That's where I was wrong.
I just thought, like, all right, you have a couple guys who are made examples of, and once that happens, yeah, enough guys get slapped on the hand hard enough. And, I mean, in fairness, it has impacted Malik Beasley's free agency now, probably whatever career Terry Rozier has left, Class A,
Ortiz. I mean, it impacted Calvin Ridley. It impacted Jameson Williams. Like, there's NFL examples of this, too. And it's one of these things that, I mean, those are different, though. The majority of the situations that we're talking about, it's guys betting on games. And sometimes it's games that aren't even in their league that they're with. This is different. This is being dumb for prop bets.
Yeah, and I just don't think it's going to solve any of the problems that you have. Like, it might solve a micro problem, which is the prop bets themselves. I think baseball, and if baseball and other leagues didn't expect this to be a significant part of the game going forward, and by the way, I don't think this is going to stop it either. I think this is going to now, because gambling is a part of everything, it's going to be a part, it's going to be, like you're trying to control a scenario in which, oh, by the way, that player could then go out on the road in another market where they don't have, or where they don't have prop bet bans. And then they could get pinged on prop bets in another market.
You mean as if they don't play in a million different states all throughout the season? And oh, by the way, it's not as if these players were the ones that were are really making the bets, because we had it dinged in three different states. And so, like, if you're doing this operation, it was Ohio, it was New York, and it was New Jersey. All right, you just make your bets in New York and New Jersey. Like, and what is DeWine thinking?
And there's a part of me here, too, of like policing the masses because of a couple dumb people. It's really tough to do that. Like, at some point, looks, if a handful of athletes are doing this, or even like a year, right?
Yeah.
And then you change state policy for that, that just feels like the – it does feel – you said – was it was it political theater or something like that?
Yeah, yeah.
It also just feels like an excuse to control something you want to control.
Yeah, I just don't – I don't understand it. Maybe he's just making headlines. I'm not really sure. It doesn't feel like anything
– he didn't sign anything in the legislature, so I guess that, you know.
Well, and it's odd, too, because for a while there, it seemed like he was going into the pockets and trying to get as much money as he could from the different, betting taxes and everything that he wanted. And so maybe this is his response to the betting community. Like, I'm gonna come down hard on you, because there was obvious pushback that happened with that.
Yeah.
There was obvious pushback. He wanted to go to make it 35 to 40% or so. And like some other states already have, and you could tell all the different gambling companies were like, don't even threaten to do that, because we'll just take our ball and go home in many ways.
I just think, to the big picture of sports gambling and the impact it's going to have on these leagues, the cat is out of the bag.
Right? I want to know how far it does extend. Like, I mean, I really don't think it's crazy to think that there's somebody else involved with the Guardians that we're just not aware of yet. I have a hard time, and this is just me and my opinion alone, but I do have a hard time thinking that it was just Class A and it was just Ortiz, and Ortiz figured out the system, or Class A figured out the system, and that's all it was. But, like, what do you do if you're baseball and you have seven or eight different people that get flagged on one team?
Yeah, and by the way, at some point, the organizations, like, to me, this is different. You know, when you and I have been tweeting about this, people then fire back and be like, well, but what about the Browns and Quinshon? I'm like, all right, as you scout these guys more, you are going to be able to get wind of if they have an affinity for gambling. But this is happening when guys are already in their career. Like, mm-hmm. Class A was already a Guardian.
Right.
So, but that, and then gambling became legal. I think it's wildly different than, like, the domestic violence stuff, where it's not really hard to unroot any of that, because a lot of that ends up on paper in the criminal system.
Yeah, and but I do think the same thing applies in the Quinshon thing. I think I'd say the only through line here is that how would you possibly predict that someone would be wanting to do this?
Well, and that's why I think baseball actually has to protect the teams out of this, because there's just no, like, I don't know if it's compensatory picks. I don't know if it's, you know, like in football, if your guy misses a full season, you get salary protection. I don't know what it is, but, I mean, this is the number two starter in a closer on a team. This ends up being wildly punitive to an organization who has no control over any of this.
Oh, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about whether or not MLB should make up for it, almost, to be like, hey, we know this stinks and it's not really your fault, so we're going to try to go ahead and do right in any way we possibly can.
I mean, they're so concerned about parity.
Because it does.
This impacts parity in a huge way.
Well, I mean, think about it. If we had traded, let's say, Ortiz and Class A in a package deal to the Tigers and got prospects instead, we would have rioted. Yeah. We would have been like, you're giving away so many assets on your team. You would have had to get back three top 10 prospects for the Tigers in return for that.
And even then, I don't think
even
it
then it, yeah. we'd be livid. You'd be like, you just cut our team down at its knees. So, like, that's a great point. I want to see what baseball would do in response to this. I bet baseball does nothing. But if I was the Guardians, I'd be doing your suggestion. I'd be saying, get us some compensatory picks. Give us something, because there is no way we could have possibly known this. In fact, I'd turn it back on baseball and be like, the way you guys do these prop bets, you guys enticed them. This is your fault.
Generally, when betting, baseball won't do anything. You're gonna win that prop bet 10 times out of 10. All right. Either they're going to do something or they're not going to do something. Yeah, I bet baseball doesn't do anything. All right. That's even money. You can't win. You're not going to make any money on that kind of bet.
Yeah, unfortunately. Man.
216-474-0092. So the latest here is Emmanuel Clase and Luis Ortiz lockers have been cleared out. Are you expecting the worst? Well, from the worst for the Guardians to where they go from here, Travis Sawchuk, a longtime MLB writer, joins us in 5 minutes. We'll get his thoughts on the Guardians' deadline approach, the Bieber trade, and more on 92.3 The Fan. Back on Afternoon Drive, Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin. We got the lead coming up. We got Mike Golic Jr. coming up at 6. We did have Kevin Stefanski on 1 hour ago, and we'll have more reaction from our interview with Coach. You can also check some of the clips out at 92.3 The Fan on social media. However, the Guardians starting a 3-game set with the Twins tonight. Feels like a good time to get the Twins there, JP.
Yeah, I did wonder about that. Like, are they going to have like a 1-game, let's win one for all our fallen brethren?
Literally 10 guys got dealt off the Twins.
It's like, we gotta show them for just trading everybody away.
Nah, they're going to lay right down.
They might. Have they announced the roster moves yet to even field a team tonight?
I think they're actually going to have some of the guys that Shador was throwing to, some equipment managers,
over to the Twins
are going
to
be in right field and out of that bullpen tonight. But to talk about the Guardians of the deadline, the second half of the Guardians season, the final 56 games or so of the season, we head out to the Fan Hotline. Welcome in Driveline Baseball contributor Travis Sawchuk. Travis, welcome to the show.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Great to be with you guys.
Well, it's great to have you here. I guess we'll start with this. They don't trade Stephen Kwan. They do or Carlos Santana. They do trade Paul Sewald, and they do trade Shane Bieber. What did you make of the Guardians' deadline approach?
Ideally, Bieber would have been coming out of his rehab assignment right now and helping the Guardians to the playoff push, and what a difference maker he could have been in a postseason series if he looked anything like the guy he was early last season before the unfortunate elbow injury. But I do think, you know, they're the ultimate bubble team, right? 54-54, 13% playoff chances at Fangraphs. It's really not, and we just look at the lineups day to day, it's really not a team that I think anyone has a lot of belief in. So it makes sense to flip him for a pretty good prospect. Steven was the pitcher from the second round pick they got from the Blue Jays, was the fourth best prospect traded at in the deadline period, according to Baseball America. So that's a solid return for a pitcher who is going to opt out of his contract most likely. Stephen Kwan's such a nice player with more years of team control. So I'm glad they, you know, didn't sell low on him. I think you still want to, you're not in a total rebuild situation. There's only so many prime Jose Ramirez seasons left, and they've had so much trouble developing outfielders. I thought it was prudent to only trade Kwan if you're getting overwhelmed, like, say, the Athletics were in the Mason Miller deal. I think the deadline was logical, but it's also been a very disappointing season too, and it's hard to get too excited about what lies ahead in August, September for the Guardians.
Do you think an extension for Kwan is on the table, or would you bet more that we go into the offseason and maybe that's when Kwan gets traded, or even next deadline maybe Kwan gets traded?
Yeah, I think it's a good question, and I think it depends upon, are they able to add anything externally that they think is attractive outfield-wise, but yeah, this is a player. I wouldn't be super motivated to move Kwan. He's your leadoff hitter on most days. He is getting your most plate appearances. He's one of your higher on-base percentage players. The club's had so much trouble developing outfielders. I'd rather try to extend the player than move him. So I don't see the motivation to be sellers of Kwan unless you're being overwhelmed.
Travis, we and Travis Sochik here of Driveline Baseball on the fan hotline, breaking down the Guardians' deadline here. I know they're only a couple games back in the wild card. Detroit's given them a little opportunity with some recent struggles here, although that's a much steeper climb of 8-9 games in the division. What does a final 56-game push for the Guardians come down to? I know we're going to go offense, but individually, like, who has to step up?
Yeah, no, it's a great question, and it would sure help to have an elite closer and Ortiz still around. And that really, I mean, just as an aside, you look at that closer market, relief pitcher market, and if you wanted to sell into that, what an opportunity they just lost. And now they have enough position, perhaps indefinitely. So going forward, I think, Slade has to continue to pitch really well. They need as much offense as they can get out of the bottom half of the lineup. But it's a real uphill challenge. The Tigers have come back to them a little bit, but you're still battling with a bunch of teams for that final wild card spot, and maybe I think the division's probably very unlikely. So it's a real uphill challenge, which is why you move a Shane Bieber, and I think that's a logical approach. But baseball's a strange game. Maybe Manzardo can be in the lineup more days than not and get hot again like he was early in the season. Maybe Martinez can be a difference maker in lineup. But the lineup, I think, if you're just being realistic about it, just too many holes. Now the back end of the bullpen has huge question marks. The biggest ace card you had in the second half of the season, Bieber, is no longer with the team. So I just think it's an unlikely scenario, but baseball is a strange game in many respects. So you never know what can happen. But I do think they are dark horse long shots going forward. So much would have to break right.
You mentioned Manzardo and not getting everyday opportunities, and they take a very analytical approach, and I can respect it in many ways, but platooning in the scenarios that they keep platooning with, especially when they're putting guys like David Fry up there, who's not hitting any better than, let's say, Manzardo even would in a lefty-lefty situation, can you make it make sense for me, Travis?
Yeah, I think it's a strict platoon by the numbers, by the spreadsheet, and a lot of times it makes sense, but I do think with such a young player against certain left-handed pitchers, not the Chris Sale in his prime or Randy Johnson in his prime, not those types of lefties or Garrett Crochet, but against certain lefties, I think there could be benefits to playing a young hitter like Manzardo, where I've talked to Freddie Freeman, other guys about this who weren't platooned early in their career and hit from the left side, and there are benefits to having to stick in there against tough angles coming from left-handed pitchers, seeing spin from that side. And they felt their benefits that helped them, when they have the platoon advantage facing right-handed pitchers. So, and the sample's so small, we can't say for certain whether Manzardo can or cannot hit lefties. So I think he should get a little more exposure there, especially if things turn south in September, then, why not play him every day and see what you have? So, this is a team that has struggled to find offensive contributors, and he's one of your more promising young position players, so why not see what he can do? I don't think it should be such a strict platoon.
Travis, looking to just kind of the deadline at a bigger level, who do you think had the best deadline and maybe increased their chances the most to win a championship in the second half?
yeah, it was super entertaining deadline. I mean, the Padres, they increased their World Series winning chances the most, if you believe in some of the projection system models. But they paid a super high price to do that, and moving a top five overall prospect in the game and Leo DeVries. And do you do that for control over an awesome closer, Mason Miller? But we also know how prone hard throwers are to injury. So Padres are super fascinating. I don't know if I want to call them winners, but they're the most consequential team of the deadline. I think the Athletics, not that they really have a fan base or anyone to really get fired up about this, but to get the prospect I mentioned, DeVries, back in that deal, was that's massive. We all know what Nick Kurtz is doing, and to add a top five prospect to that young infield that also includes Jacob Wilson, who is leading the AL in hits for a long stretch in the season. That's fine, I guess, Las Vegas. They do have a really exciting position player group. So I look at them as winners. The Twins, I mean, they totally blew up their roster, but I think they returned, you know, something like a dozen players back. And among them, Tate, the catching prospect from the Phillies, is really interesting. Taj Bradley from the Rays, if they can make a few adjustments there. He has shown flashes of being a top-of-the-rotation contributor. So Twins have taken a step back for sure. But they brought back some of the most future value. I think of the top 10 prospects at the deadline, they had four or five of them, according to Baseball America. So I do think, given their difficult situation, they did the best they could do. Blue Jays getting Bieber in a pretty wide open year. He could be a number one, number two starter for them in a postseason series if he gets back to the guy who really last. I do like what the Jays did the deadline.
Follow this man on Twitter at Travis_Sawchick. Travis, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you. Travis on the fan hotline there. I think we're having some phone difficulties.
I think we did. I think we did. That ended exactly the way that the entire interview went.
Yeah, that wasn't.
Yeah, no. That's, you know, sometimes you have a good phone line, sometimes you don't. That's okay.
I've been saying that. See, as a man with strong Verizon coverage, I really never
Verizon
have to worry.
Has taken care
you
of
know?
You.
And I mean, I'm the VIP with Verizon.
You are.
So
you are.
I get that VIP treatment.
You get that
I get
sweet
that
new phone. They hooked you
I
up
get
with?
That. I got a sweet phone. I got a couple smartwatches for my daughters. Oh, and yeah, when I do radio hits, my phone never breaks out. So
I'm
we got
jealous.
That.
What a great deal you have over there at the Verizon and the good people at Verizon.
Yeah. I mean, maybe one day we'll shoehorn our buddy No-So Johnny into the deal.
Maybe, just maybe. I think it's interesting what he was trying to say about the Twins, though. Like, I do love... Was that too quick of a pivot for you?
No, what he was trying to say is the one that broke me.
Oh, okay. Like, it kind of goes to the idea that at least the Twins picked a lane. At the end of the day, at least they did. It might seem awful for Minnesota fans in the moment, but they're not doing any waffling of in between are we or aren't we. They chose a lane, and now they'll be able to kind of, you know, it'll be a crappy couple years, but then they'll be able to navigate those waters and hopefully come out better for the end of it.
Is that smart, though, to do in 2025?
Well,
where
today's
everybody
baseball
has a
is
chance?
Interesting. Yeah, in today's baseball, we just see so few teams actually choosing that route. And the ones that do, it seems like it's really hard to eventually climb out of. But at least you're not waffling in what they've been doing for the previous 5 years, essentially, which is, 85 to 89 wins and massively underperforming every single season.
Yeah, but the reason they haven't been able to go beyond that is just not good enough drafting.
Well, not good enough health either, I would argue.
Well, but I think, so like, my thing is, like, if you're a championship parade than have the best farm system in baseball, what was the line you used?
Prospects are cool, parades are cooler.
Okay, I don't think then you can be a fan in this day's age baseball, being somebody that's like, well, you picked a lane there and you tanked or you rebuilt, just because I don't think you have to rebuild in this current era, unless there are financial restrictions beyond measure.
Well, and there clearly are in this instance, and that's why they try to get out of every contract they possibly could. And that's why Correa's a Houston Astro right now.
Would have taken Byron Buxton here.
I just think they looked at the endless middle. And listen, if I was Buxton, I would have definitely, if I knew that was the approach, I would have been like, maybe I'm not just going to do the no trade clause thing and tell them I want to be a Twin for life. My goodness.
So we'll have more on the Guardians when we come back. We got the lead. You hear a little bit of our Kevin Stefanski interview coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids to a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.